coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today, Wednesday. Can't even tell what day it is. April 8th, 2020. Again, with the 2020 hindsight, if we had it. And will we be needing it in the days ahead? Will we be begging, pleading? Will we be rueing the day that we didn't use foresight, but had to rely on hindsight? I say this as U.S. hits new record for highest number of coronavirus deaths in a day, 1,890. That's 1,890 deaths in the United States in the last 24 hours. This according to the Daily Mail, which is according to the National Institute of Health. Also, the fatalities, it brings the fatalities to 12,876. So, last 24 hours, just south of 2,000 deaths, 1,890. Year to date or pandemic to date, 12,876. The number of infections reported, 398,000. It's interesting because these numbers reflect a percentage of the population tested here in the United States at 0.3%. That's 0.3%. Not 0.3%. A lot of things taking place here. My question is, what is this country going to look like in 6 months? Are we going to have a country left? If you signed on to the Drudge Report this morning, you'd see that, you'd see all sorts of dire headlines, including, 100 days of virus. Emotional toll rises. Feds plan database of infected. That's very interesting. The federal government, feds are planning a database of infected. Below that, looters are targeting shuttered businesses, closed businesses, small businesses. Very interesting. By the way, some political news. It appears that Bernie Sanders is out of the race. Watch for chaos. Watch for blowback from that. I suppose we're going to have to somewhat mark these times with BC, that's before coronavirus, and AC after coronavirus, or more appropriately, Communist Chinese Party virus, and let's never forget that. But we are engaged in a very precarious balancing act here. I'm not even sure it's a balancing act. I'm not even sure people really know really what the hell is going on anywhere. I question everything, and I would urge you to question everything as well. Don't take anything I say for granted that it's true. Do your own research, look it up. I will cite sources where I can and provide information accordingly based on my investigative research and analysis, but don't rely on mine. Do your own. I have a great show lined up for you today. It's a Hagman Report where truth can't be silenced, no matter how hard they try. And believe me, they are trying, of course. Just for a recap this year, just to let you know, the Hagman Report has been completely demonetized on YouTube. Nonetheless, if you see ads, it's revenue neutral to us, we were expecting. We were expecting that, which is not really an issue. I would urge everyone to nonetheless, because it messes with the algorithms, subscribe to our channel on YouTube. It's the official Hagman Report on YouTube. All right. Also bookmark HagmanReportLive.com. That's HagmanReportLive.com for all of your audio and video needs, programs, downloads, including the videos. Not just the Hagmann Report, but also the Keith Hansen Show and Good Guy, Bad Gun by Dan Moss. That's a weekly program. Keith Hansen's a nightly program. There it is on your screen. So right now you've got, in our network, you've got three different programs to choose from. Hagmann Report Live, Keith Hansen Show, and Good Guy, Bad, or Good Gun, Bad Guy with radio with Dan Moss. Thank you, Eric the Tech, for that. Eric the Tech, how are you today?
Doing good.
Yeah, you're looking good. I'm glad you're here. Without you, we wouldn't have a show. I'm telling you.
It would just look a lot different.
It would look a lot different indeed. Today's show, Richard Proctor, Dr. Proctor, is coming on. ProvisInstitute.com is his website. I would urge everyone to go to ProvisInstitute.com. The link will be in the program description box at HagmannReportLive.com. There it is on your screen. Pay special attention to the books, including and especially Saving the Constitution. Because what we're looking at today is operating our country operational, or is it operational, constitutionally operational, in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of the hysteria, the hype. Now, this is not to say, believe me, this is not to say that this virus is not real. You just have to understand, I believe that cities such as New York, where people are stacked and packed, Los Angeles, and other urban areas, they're hit differently. They have different numbers and statistics than the flyover country. But nonetheless, we are a country. We are a constitutional republic. How is our Constitution faring? Are we abrogating our duties as citizens and allowing our rights to be taken from us under the pretext of safety? I'm asking. I'd be interested to read your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube. I want to start off, before I bring Dr. Proctor on, I want to start off by playing a video clip, this of Tucker Carlson from 48 hours ago, 2 days ago, April 6th of 2020. Pay very close attention to the first minute and 33 seconds, which we'll play. This is a 12-minute video clip. The link for the entire video will be in the program description box, as I said, at Hagmann Report Live. But pay special attention to this and watch the entire clip. He's one of the few, I believe, asking the right questions, the proper questions, in attempting to make sense out of what we're seeing. All right, so Eric the Tech, can you, if it's ready, let's play Tucker Carlson from April 6th, 2 days ago.
So if you've been sick, you know that intensive care is not something that doctors recommend lightly. Boris Johnson is clearly in danger tonight, and that's a bad sign. Johnson is in his mid-50s and hale enough to lead a country. If this can happen to him, a lot of us should be worried. And we are worried, worried enough to endure things that just a month ago would have seemed preposterous. Last week, Dr. Michael Ryan, he's a leader at the World Health Organization, announced that in response to the spread of this virus, authorities may have to enter people's homes and remove family members, presumably by force.
In most parts of the world, due to lockdown, most of the transmission that's actually happening in many countries now is happening in the household, at family level. In some senses, transmission has been taken off the streets and pushed back into family units. Now we need to go and look in families to find those people who may be sick and remove them and isolate them in a safe and dignified manner.
Just so you know, we're coming to your house, seizing your children, and, quote, isolating them in a safe and dignified manner, whatever that means. Now, that's not something that under normal circumstances officials casually drop during briefings. It's the kind of statement that might trigger violence. People don't respond well when you threaten to take their kids. But Ryan said it like it was no big deal, and that's how the media treated it. His threat didn't make headlines in any of the major newspapers in this country. That's the kind of moment we're in. So how long will this moment last?
Okay, if you can pause that and advance that to the, 8-minute mark. The reason, again, there's a lot of information between that moment, that ending, and the 8-minute mark that I would urge you to watch and listen. But my question to everyone with respect to this is who, pun intended, in the hell is Dr. Michael Ryan? And under what authority does he have to say what he just said? Now, Dr. Michael Ryan, in a moment, I'll show you who he is. He's with the World Health Organization. And he's talking about removing family members by force if necessary. Oh, that's not going to end well. And if that's not bad enough, Tucker Carlson also zeroed in on this. By the way, that was from the end of March. Did you hear that in the mainstream media anywhere? Yeah, we're just going to come into your house, take that sick family member, or take the well ones. Not going to end well. Now, about 8 minutes here into this 12-minute video. Watch this.
No, it doesn't make sense. That's obvious. But instead of changing course or fine-tuning, they're doubling down, hoping that vehemence will compensate for bad science. Here's the mayor of Los Angeles just last week.
If you've observed recurring violations of the Safer at Home order, please continue to let us know at coronavirus.lacity.org/business-violation. You know the old expression about snitches? Well, in this case, snitches get rewards. We want to thank you for turning folks in and making sure we are all safe.
So you just saw the mayor of our second biggest city offering to pay citizens to snitch on their neighbors for, among other things, daring to go to work. Working is one activity we've decided should not be allowed.
Okay. You can, watch the video in its entirety at the link provided. Snitches get rewards. Turn in a neighbor. You know, for an entity and an individual, myself and Steve Quayle, being sued for fake news, spreading fake news 2 years ago, let me point out that we discussed this very issue, that neighbor would be turning on neighbor. Neighbor would be calling the police on neighbors for violations, ostensible violations. Hey, you can't be doing this. They've got food stockpiled. You don't think that's real? Well, that's common. They've got a weapon in their house. It's already here. Red flag gun laws. Yet we're fake news and being sued for it and paying dearly for it. Which is why I played Alex Jones yesterday when he was talking about the fate he is suffering from this litigation that he is subjected to. We are all in this position, or at least those with the platforms that are relevant and making a difference. I take this pretty damn personally. Especially when I've got to write the checks, stroke the checks, sign the checks for legal fees. Why? Being sued for the dissemination of fake news. I say something on Monday and by Thursday I read it in pleadings. But we're all in this position. I'm sounding the alarm bell. It's going to happen to you too. Eric, I gave you a link to Dr. Ryan, who Dr. Ryan is. If you can just flash that on the screen, this is from the World Health Organization. This is your Dr. Ryan, who originally, the beginning of that video, who said, well, just come into your house, your homes. We're going to take the sick or the well out of your homes. Don't mind us. Well, who in the hell is Dr. Michael Ryan? He's the executive director of the World Health Organization's Health Emergencies Program. Oh, and make sure you get the British spelling correctly. He's been, of course, at the forefront of managing acute risks of global health for nearly a quarter of a century. He's the big dude over there at the World Health Organization. Just saying. He'll tell you when you can come out of your house. He'll tell you when you can go to work. When did we cede authority to the World Health Organization? By whose authority? I thought we were a constitutional republic. I thought we were a country of that has a constitution, a country of men, and a country of laws, but a country of men. Right now, there are an estimated 17 million Americans unemployed. And if you dare go to work, if you're allowed to, at least in Riverside, California, not Los Angeles, snitch on a neighbor. Riverside. Oh, and by the way, you'll get rewarded and the offending neighbor will be appropriately punished. Riverside, California, Sheriff Chad Bianco. Now, look, I understand that his force, his department lost two members to this virus. I get that. But if you're in California, Riverside, California, and you happen to, venture out without a face mask, Riverside, California Sheriff Chad Bianco will, in fact, make sure that you are arrested and fined $1,000. That's right. Meanwhile, here we are. It's interesting. I'm looking at, I was doing research. How did this virus get here? And some people have said, well, it's been here since, November. Some reports will say it's been here since November. But by the way, I mentioned the statistics, testing statistics. U.S. is at 0.3% testing, Iceland is at 5%. Tucker Carlson mentions this. But the thing about Iceland, that 5%, about 50% of that 5% have been and are completely asymptomatic, without symptom, not sick, just saying. So when is this all going to end and how is this going to end? Are we going to recognize our country midsummer, fall? What are we dealing with? There's so many things. Look, there are so many questions, not enough answers. And the more I see on YouTube, I see ideological disparity. I mean, I see an incredible number of people who are saying, for example, all this virus is cover for, saving children from underground tunnels, for crying out loud, okay? I mean, I've got an open mind, but I often say this. My mind is not as open, it's not open, and don't allow yours to be so open that your brains fall out. It's not funny anymore. Things are happening. It's just not funny. It's not amusing anymore. The big question again is, what are we leaving? What are we doing? Are we doing the right thing? I mentioned about hindsight and foresight. Are we doing the right thing? Is 6 months from now, or are we going to say, wait a minute, we did the right thing by shutting down business and closing everything. Tucker Carlson also talks about keeping grocery stores open and what that is doing in the larger sense, how that is affecting the spread of this virus. But, and I won't get into that. You can watch it yourself, but makes some excellent points. Where do we go for answers? Well, we all know something stinks really bad with this. Yes, the response, I believe, at the state level. Nah, different states. I don't. A lot of things stink. We can't get the truth out of any government, it seems like, or any government official, any agency, and most assuredly not the media, the mainstream media. So I say this. Don't trust anyone. Do your own research. And above all, as Steve says, take it to the Lord. Above all, hit your knees and pray for discernment. Ask for discernment. And ask and pray for repentance of our country for everything that we've done, the murdering of unborn, the sins of moral turpitude, the 2,700 genders, the supposed legalization of homosexuality. I mean, it's beyond crazy. So, I mean, few weeks, I think we've all seen things that we never thought we would see in the United States. Again, hit your knees, because this is as much, if not more, of a spiritual problem than a real problem, a practical problem. It's both. But it starts really at the spiritual level. All right, Dr. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. Thank you so very much for your patience as I went through that foundational information to start this program off with, because we had discussed off air, folks, this is just a great discussion with Dr. Proctor about the Constitution and where we are with the Constitution amid all of this. And I have to defer to him because he's the constitutional expert. He's the author of numerous books. If you look over, well, to the right of your screen, you will see his books. They're all there. I'll just take a look. They're right there. And in fact, they'll be in the program description box. Links to purchasing his books will be in the program description box. I'll tell you something. I cannot stop reading the Liberty series. And it gives you a great background of our Constitution, of the intent and the perversion thereof. So saving our Constitution as well is one of the finest books I've read about our Constitution. Dr. Proctor, thank you for coming on. And thank you, by the way, for making the sacrifice as you struggled through the Skype setup. Appreciate that.
It's been tough for me to do the Skype setup, okay? I'm not computer savvy, so I depend on other people to do that for me.
I completely understand, yeah.
But now I'm looking at the split screen, and I'm seeing me on the screen, and I think I need a burqa, you know, one of those things to cover my face, hide me from you. Sorry.
I'm going to tell you what, you know, remember the William Kennedy Smith trial, the blue dot, the infamous blue dot in front of the witness. Yeah. I mean, I look at myself on screen. I think you can't possibly, you know, like that, appearance, but yeah, no, you're fine, brother. You look good. You're looking good.
I'll just do the best I can. Do the best I can. Let's talk about the Constitution.
Let's do that. Thank you. And thank you, by the way. I don't know if you heard the introduction, but thank you for sitting through the introduction. If you heard it, but
all of it.
We're in trouble.
Yes. Absolute horrible trouble. Just take the unemployment you mentioned a few minutes ago. It's worse than it was in the 30s, folks. And we have nobody's working. I mean, I don't want to say nobody. I'm working full time. I didn't stop anything. it's just astounding to me how many people are. I was in the post office the other day. They're yelling at each other. They're yelling at me because I'm saying, hey, this isn't right. They're yelling at me. They're forcing you to stand in certain circles. But they've got shower curtains up in front so you can't see what's going on. I mean, the whole thing, that's a government agency, though. We must remember, government agencies are not the same as the private agencies. I believe that we need to get back to work. Here's an item that I would say. Again, this is all back to the Constitution. I wrote this a few days ago because a writer asked me what he should do. So I wrote this to him. We must get back to work and work together in spite of the disease. Appeal to our employers to reopen their businesses. We have a right to die from the disease in the fight for our freedoms. Form groups to demand our freedoms. Ensure that companies that are following these freedom destroying rules will not get our business. And anything else that will get the attention of government, city, county, and federal. This might turn out to be a war as serious as the Revolutionary War was, but in a different way. Encourage everyone you know to get a copy of my book, Saving the Constitution, now, country, so they'll know what their rights are. Guys, we are so far afield of the Constitution. I was listening to this fellow, the World Health Organization. By the way, the World Health Organization is the same as the United Nations, is the same as the IMF, is the same as the World Bank. These people are all out to get a one world government. They're out to get our country sold down the river. They're out to stop us. You want the information about this and the background. It's all in my book, The Liberty Series. I know that's 2,200 pages, you know, so it's not something you read over the weekend. But guys, if you want to know what's happening to us today and who's doing it, it's in those books. We've had these same patterns over and over and over again. This is not the first one. We've had a pattern like, well, just take the wars we've been involved in since the early 1900s. Spanish-American War. We didn't get in that war because we wanted to. We get in that war because of propaganda. Go forward. The Maine was blown from inside, not outside. Get a hold of the information about the World War I episode. Sure, the Lusitania was sunk. Let's get a little background before that. Before that, you go about 6 months earlier, Wilson was elected on a platform of, we've kept out of the war. We're not in the war because I've kept us out of the war. Then he hired a publishing agency to get us on a war footing. And boy, did they ever. I mean, things were written in England, in the basements of England, sent to us, and we put them out as truth. And they weren't. They weren't truth. Then the Lusitania was getting ready to sail in New York City, and the German embassy tried hard to get the word out to the people of New York City that they were going to sink that ship, and no media outlet published it. The only reason we have the published is it was in the middle of the country, St. Louis or somewhere right in there. That's where we got the information about that. And those people got on the boat. 130 some odd died when it was sunk, and we went to war because we were on a war footing because the media put us there in 6 months after we elected a guy that said we wouldn't go to war. That's what's going on again. Then you can look at the Vietnam. Well, World War II. We got into World War II because of Pearl Harbor. But if you look, there's a book called The Day of Infamy. Okay, he points out, and it's very, very clear, that our government knew precisely where those boats were every day. They knew where those carriers were. It wasn't a question. They knew where they were because they can pick up the keystrokes of the operators. The operators have certain ways of operating those Morse code things, had different patterns, different techniques, different way, and they knew who was operating and where that person was. So they knew where those ships were. They plotted them. They kept the admiral and they kept the general, the army and the navy, admirals from patrolling the areas where the ships were. And then they crucified those guys. That's how that happened. Guys, we are not safe we're not safe at all. Vietnam, the Tonkin Bay incident was all blown out of proportion. They didn't get us on a war footing. That was a war about money. It wasn't about anything else. It was just a war about money. Guys, we've got to realize that this is just the same pattern. This is no different. Now, I know you got to do what Doug just said a few minutes ago. You got to check all this stuff out. But all the sources that I've written on are in my book. It's not just me writing. Everything I talk about in that book, in those books, is sourced in the book itself. So you can read the information. If I hadn't sourced it, you couldn't find it today. Okay. You could find the books that I referenced, but you couldn't find the articles. You can't find anything of that today. It's not available, but it's in my book because I knew we wouldn't be able to find it at some later date. You will see dates in the book of articles that were written in 2006, 7, 8, and some 12 and 13. That's because that's when they said, that's when those things were written. But the date doesn't matter. The content is the key. The content will tell you what went on then, and now it will tell you what's going on now. Now, I've got some information that I sent to Doug yesterday about some of the photographic evidence, and I don't know whether we're going to want to put that on the screen or not. Doug is going to decide. It's his show. But, guys, the evidence is there that indicates that this is a hoax, not the disease. The disease is real. The hoax is the pandemic. That's the hoax. The disease is real. Remember I said we should go to work. We have a right to die. Think about this. The revolutionary soldiers didn't stay home because they might get shot by a bullet. They didn't stay home. And we've got to do something like that, or else we will have a bloodbath to get it back, if we can ever get it back. Guys, the Constitution is the right thing. It is the outline. It's the outline of our country. The Declaration of Independence was the foundation. Then they wrote the rules to do the foundation. The rules are in the Constitution. The Declaration of Independence is the authority of the Constitution. Those two documents, they are the ones. We need to know those documents. We need to understand what those documents say. And if you go through all of the things that we complained about England in the 25 or so complaints, you will see in those complaints much the same as we're seeing today in our own country. Taxation without representation. Oh, no, we get to vote on our congressmen and our representatives. No, guys, I know you get to vote, but you don't choose who you're going to vote for. Let's think about it for a minute. How many representatives are in Congress today? 435. That's our representation. How many should there be? Over 10,000, well over 10,000. Now, if there were 10,000, we would be represented, but there are only 435. We are not being represented. Guys, the Constitution is clear on what all these things should have. That's why I wrote the book, Saving the Constitution, because I wanted to bring it all into a smaller writing. It's only 310 pages, 350 pages long, I think, at this point. Only 350 pages long. It isn't a tome. You can get through it. I write like I talk. I don't know any syllables over two syllables. Guys, we are in a world of hurt, and we're allowing it to happen to ourselves because we're going lemmings. What do lemmings do? They run along behind the other till they run off the cliff. Well, we are running along behind the other. We're going to run off the cliff. We're apathetic. We don't understand what's going on, and some don't want to know. I was talking to a young lady yesterday on the phone. I don't care. It bothers me. I'm not concerned. I'm just going to do my thing and hunker down. Yeah. Well, if we're all like that, she'll be hunkering down in a shack. Yeah. I tell you what, folks, the Constitution is our guideline. It is our savior, so to speak. Jesus Christ is the savior, but the Constitution is the written savior of our country, and we must understand what it says. I've got 10 books out to teach children and teach adults. I've written those books expressly to get this information out, although at the time I wrote them, I did not know this was coming. But I wrote them. I was inspired to write them to get the information available in an easily found, logical way so that you can see what's happening. Now, we're selling some of the full volumes. Yes, we are. But we're not selling what we should be. because if we don't have these books, we won't know what's happening. I'm no prophet of these things. I'm just reporting history. I'm not telling what's going to happen in the future, but I can guess. I can guess. If you want to see what's going to happen to us, all you have to do is look back at what happened after the First World War in Russia. They had their neighbors snitching on them. They had people lined up. They went into homes to get people. They did whatever they wanted. John, Nazi Germany, they did the same thing. Hey, guys, these things are not ancient history. They are current history. I wasn't around for the beginning of World War I or the end of it, but I know what it is. I know what happened. You want to see what happened, what it was like? Again, I mentioned Dr. Zhivago, that movie. Last week, I mentioned that. If you get that movie, and it can be gotten any place, you can buy it or you can rent it. You can ask somebody who has one. Look at what that movie portrays, what Russia was like before World War I and what it was like after World War I. And think about us before this disease and after this disease. There'll be a parallel. If we don't do something, they who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Guys, we've got to do something. Our rights are being lost. Our rights, we have 27 rights in the Constitution that are almost gone completely. But they're going to come and take people out of our homes. When somebody says that, that's just a warning of what could occur. And it could, you guys, it could. Yes?
Yeah, you said a lot there, Doctor, and I'll just say this. I am concerned about where we are, but I'm even more concerned about where we're going to be. And by the way, your series, Liberty, Will It Survive? Folks, it's one of the most informative series that at the epicenter of the series, of course, is the United States Constitution, but it's very enlightening because it really kind of drafts and puts together all the questions you've had, all the questions I've had. And, whether it's the most obscure thing, to the most, significant thing, whether it's the Club of Rome or CFR, Committee of 300, whatever, to ornaments, decorations on a U.S. flag. I mean, all of the answers are there. So I really like that. It's all encompassing. The Liberty series, if you go to provisinstitute.com. But you said a whole lot there. One thing that stuck out in my mind in you had compared this to getting shot in the Revolutionary War. Is it our right to die? I guess. Now, that sounds like a really weird question, but is it our right in the process of exercising our right to die to perhaps endanger someone else? And are we endangering someone else? Or do we even know the answer to that question? And or does it matter? Go ahead.
Did you get a chance to look at the two videos that I sent yesterday?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we're having a little difficulty here bringing up the videos, but yes.
If you can, that would be photographic evidence that the things that are being reported in the media are not true. Photographic evidence.
Okay.
One day they say the place is overwhelmed. People are dying by the hundreds. Oh, we can't do anything. The next day or the same day, Here's an amateur reporter standing in the same location, looking at the trucks. There are no bodies. Looking at the hospitals. There are no people. Looking at the testing stations. There are no people. Interviewing a couple of guys that are bringing some patients in. Three. Oh, what are they? They've got the coronavirus. How do you know? Did you test them? No, we didn't test them. Well, then how do you know? Well, they had symptoms. Come on, folks. The symptoms are flu symptoms. They're not. There's no symptoms that are different than flu. Come on, folks. You can't do it that way. Yet that's what the media is reporting. Doug, you mentioned a little earlier about a whole bunch of deaths from the virus. What, over almost 2,000 in 24 hours?
That the number given to us was it was just south of 2,000.
Just south of 2,000.
Right.
Now, I'm going to go on a limb. I'll bet the number isn't over 15.
Now, why do you say that? I'm curious.
because nobody's in the hospitals, because nobody's been, there's nobody in, there's no body bags, because none of this is going on. And it's not just New York. These photos that I hope we get to show you, some of them, these photos are in Seattle. They're in Kentucky. They're in Hawaii. They're all over the country. It's not just one place.
All right.
Now,
stop there for a second, because since you mentioned that, we do have one of the videos queued up here. I'm not sure which one, so it'll be a surprise to us both. This is the one that you had. This is the one that you had sent, and we're working on the other one. So, folks, watch your screen.
Hello, YouTube family. It's me, Miss Dana Ashley. Today we're out getting a little exercise, but I wanted to report something that is amazing. In an earnest attempt to sort fact from fiction, citizen reporters are popping up and hitting the streets to verify whether or not what we're hearing about these hospitals is true.
Approximately how many coronavirus patients have you seen? How many? You don't know? 2? 100? 3. You've seen 3.
So again, there are no lines of people. There is no mass chaos out here, contrary to what the mainstream media is telling you.
How do you know they had coronavirus? Do you guys test in the ambulance? You don't know. You assume. Symptoms.
Can you blame Americans for wanting to verify the truth when networks like CBS are doing things like this?
Cases are being found right here. Crowded subway cars may have accelerated the spread. New York's governor says FEMA gave the state 400 ventilators. To that, he said this.
What am I going to do with 400 ventilators when I need 30,000?
So when you're watching this from CBS, the slant, you know, is the great need for the equipment. We don't have enough equipment. So the crowded ER shot demonstrates we have an epicenter of this disease in New York, and we don't have enough. We need 30,000 ventilators. But the only problem is this footage has already run on Sky News on March 22nd talking about Italy. Yeah.
This is the main hospital in Bergamo, in Lombardy province. It's one of the most advanced hospitals in Europe. But it's the most hard hit of all the hospitals.
Once again this morning, the city's hospitals will be on the front lines in this war against the coronavirus. In Elmhurst, Queens, that hospital there, lines of people lining up already this morning for about the last 45 minutes. Confirmed cases, people waiting to get tested, supplies are in demand there.
Somebody said there will be hordes of people inside, that's why I didn't go in. Let's see, the doctor with his mask on and everything. Look at that. Nobody. Completely empty. This is police. No EMS. Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely. Ghosts. That's all they got you afraid of, ghosts.
With the growing number of patients as supplies dwindle. You can see barricades behind us set up here outside of the hospital to keep order here because so many have been lining up every day to get tested.
Where's the long lines of the people trying to get tested? I don't see that.
I just wanted to give you guys an idea of what it looks like here in New York City. The mayor... The governor says our hospitals have been turned into war zones. Well, I want to give you an idea of what that war zone looks like here in downtown Brooklyn. So this is my neighborhood. This is the Brooklyn Hospital Center. And again, you're hearing one thing on the mainstream media, and this is what it's like in reality. This is where people normally stand up to get testing for the coronavirus. But as you can see, not much happening. And this is a hospital that serves thousands and thousands of people here in downtown Brooklyn, New York. And there are no lines of people. There is no mass chaos out here, contrary to what the mainstream media is telling you.
Now here's those tents they had set up. That's what he's going to do.
At Elmhurst Hospital, lines of people outside wait to get tested. A refrigerated truck has now been brought in here, a makeshift morgue.
Here's the refrigerated truck for the dead people, but no action.
Ambulances have seen a surge in calls, responding to nearly 5,800 Thursday.
Well, parked ambulances, no patients, nobody's rushing anywhere.
In fact, we've got a couple of ambulances here waiting to be called into action. Here's some busy, crazy busy guys. Yep, they're on their cell phone watching Netflix.
And officials say this, unfortunately, is just the beginning, with the crisis expected to last 4 months and the peak of it all still on the horizon. We're live
right
in Elmhurst, Queens this morning.
You keep that on the screen. Folks, I want you to take a look at the top left of your screen. This film, this video, is by Dana Ashley. She has got her own video channel, and I want to thank her for allowing us to play this. I would also urge everyone listening and watching, to thank her on our behalf. And also support and subscribe to her YouTube channel, okay? I want to be clear about this. Support Dana Ashley, subscribe to her YouTube channel, and I want to thank her in advance for allowing us to use this video. It's important to me because I know I had spoken about and showed a clip from Dana Ashley before. I did hear from her. She's a sweet, sweet girl, a sweet woman, and very generous, very kind, very informed. But I just want to let you know that this is the intellectual property of the YouTube channel owner, Dana Ashley. Go ahead and continue that.
Rena Roy, CBS 2 News.
Rena, thank you.
Nothing, absolutely. Ghosts. That's all they got you afraid of, ghosts.
Hello?
What? Oh, no problem.
Phyllis and William Mack Pavilion here on 7th Avenue. There's one guy in the waiting room. It's not too crazy. And as you see, there's an emergency sign, open 24/7, and new people.
We control the disease by controlling the information.
You can't protect the public by lying to them.
It's done every day.
Walk-in healthcare clinics around the state say they've been overwhelmed by the demand for coronavirus testing, causing frustration.
We were overwhelmed yesterday with the response to people wanting testing.
Urgent Care Hawaii says its drive-up service was deluged by requests for coronavirus tests, some waiting as long as 4 hours.
Here's my question, guys. What's the game here? You're smart people. Why are they whipping us into a panic? Why are they lying about massive lines of people at testing centers? Night after night being told there are these long lines of people being managed at the urgent care, that they're being overwhelmed.
Some waiting as long as 4 hours.
Actually, the president or CEO of urgent care, while I was in front of the place, was telling me, we're doing the best we can managing these massive lines. And I'm like, I'm here, lady. And there's no lines.
As you can see, the ER, the hospital, is not overwhelmed. Where are all these sick people at for this quarantine? Hospital number two. The first one was Norton East in Louisville, Kentucky. And this one is Baptist East in Louisville, Kentucky. The first one had nobody waiting in the waiting area. Two nurses are sitting at the desk. The quarantine tent where they take the test was empty.
People look at the testing centers. This is what they're telling you testing is going on in. Where's the testing? They're empty. They're abandoned people. There is no testing going on. Where's the testing? Where is it? The show that's getting put on for you. Leo and Paul Coveney and Simon will be down out for the photo up soon and have loads of people with masks letting on to be coming in to get tested. Look, dear, yeah, there is no bloody testing. Right down to the end, look. There is no testing going on in these tents.
The quarantine tent where they take the tests was empty. We're going to see what this one's like. Let's go. As you can see, waiting area is empty. They were supposed to be here already waiting. It might be another hospital. Nobody's in there. Nurses are just taking an easy day.
We were overwhelmed yesterday with the response.
I just want to know why urgent care doesn't want me to document. They're lying on the news about being overwhelmed with lines and testing all these people. They're taking state money, and they're not testing anyone. They're taking our money. Look at that line, officer. You see that line? So are these the overwhelming lines that you guys have been lying to the people of Hawaii about? I'm a journalist, and this is going to be a column, and it's going to be read nationally. About how you're lying, that there are massive lines.
I never said there were massive
that you're doing.
We were overwhelmed yesterday with the response.
You tested 25 people here yesterday?
No,
you said that.
Negative.
You didn't test 25 people. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. I got nobody going in. Are you the CEO of Urgent Care? Wow, you must be upset.
So it seems like people all over the world are sick of lies in the media, so sick of it that they've decided to do something about it. They're on the scene doing the work that the now so-called approved news outlets should be doing. I myself went to go pick up some food at a local restaurant to help those guys afloat during this unprecedented attack on our small businesses. And the CFO of our local hospital happened to be there as well. And she said that the hospitals were not only completely dead, but that they were, quote, burning through cash like mad, end quote. So part of the reason that the hospitals are empty is because they've canceled all the elective surgeries and things like that. They say, of course, to keep the huge influx of virus folks separated from the public. But,
something's going on, folks, and it ain't a virus.
As you can see from this footage taken by one of my subscribers, by the way, who's an attorney, all over California and the greater LA area, which is meant to be more hard hit, right? First to be put on the lockdown. There's no long lines of people dealing with virus present. The parking lots are eerily empty. And I'd like to applaud all these folks for the ability to question what we're being told, who have enough desire for truth to get out and verify it for themselves.
And you guys don't know anything about where the testing is being done? I haven't found a single place it'll test anybody. Do you know? Yeah, they have lists, and then when you go there, they say no.
Wow, my inbox is a nightmare right now, so I want to ask, please don't send me more videos of this kind of thing with the hospitals, unless you can also provide a link to a contradictory news report of the same location that is covering an event that you can disprove with your own on the scene footage. Now that I would like to get, but just random video footage of hospitals, I'm afraid that would overwhelm me a little bit. This guy here from Germany had the cojones. He walked through the whole hospital to show the world it is completely empty. And he did comment that the hospital workers were also very dubious about this whole theory as well.
Wir sehen, das ist alles übertrieben und so. Das, was in den Medien berichtet wird, das können Sie nicht nachvollziehen. Dass sich das nicht deckt mit dem, was hier tagtäglich passiert.
Oh, and I thought this was really interesting. For those who don't already realize that there is a CORONA, California, and there is a Corona Regional Medical Center within it. And of the over a dozen hospitals this guy ran around diligently checking out, this one too had zero evidence of lines of people getting tested or evidence of chaos, but what it did have were big signs out front surrounded by orange that said, Hospital Disaster Drill in Progress. Drill, huh? Interesting.
Thanks for watching, you guys. I love you, and we'll see you really, really soon.
Doodle.
There's her website, folks. Please subscribe, support, and that is MissDanaAshley.com. And the link to her website and YouTube will be in the program description box. You're going to get another, Eric the Tech, you're going to have to Okay, there we go. Thank you. He's quick on the draw. I want to just add this, doctor. And again, one more time, compliments of Dana Ashley. Thank you. Subscribe to her channel, support her. I want to add this one more time here from, my community. I have a extended family member working in the largest hospital here in my community. An entire floor has been emptied for coronavirus victims. The population of that floor, zero. Just to let you know, as of 10 o'clock this morning, population is zero. Now, we were supposedly have upwards of 25 or 30 cases documented, but at a 0.3% testing rate nationwide, I don't know. It's to you, sir.
You're being very generous. You're being very generous. I'll tell you what happened. I went to the post office yesterday and I mentioned that the pandemic was a hoax. Oh boy, he yelled at me. He carried on. He was really angry with me for saying that. Well, there's the video. There's no pandemic going on. I understand there's a disease and I understand that the disease is serious, but just south of 2,000 deaths? No, maybe 15, maybe 20. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's 100. But it isn't 2,000. I'm sorry. This thing is going to plague us for our lives if we, the people, don't take the initiative to do something about it. We've got to do something. Our rights are being lost. We're losing our country right before our eyes. I use the term lemmings, and it looks like it. Apathy. It's there. I'm not concerned. My neighbors, this has been 2 weeks ago, I guess. My neighbor came over, well, just a week ago. My neighbor came over to give me a birthday card. He says, yeah, I have a birthday card. But he didn't come where I was. He didn't come up to me. I tried to walk to him. He walked away. I mean, he was wearing gloves. He did not want. We got to be safe, he said. We got to be safe. Oh, dear. There's our neighbors. That's what's happening to us. I have another neighbor. I met him one day out in public. Good fellow. He and I are good friends, but he wouldn't shake my hand again. He wouldn't do it. We're afraid of each other. We're being taught to be afraid of each other. People don't want to stand in. I walk into a place where there's a line, four or five people. The line is, 20 feet long with four or five people because nobody wants to be close to anybody. Oh, folks, we're being conditioned to accept whatever the government wants us to accept. When the government finishes what they want to do with this, then they'll go away. Then it will go away. But until they do, it won't. You remember Oklahoma out in the middle of, not Oklahoma, I mean, down in the Gulf of Mexico, they had that oil well blow up and all kinds of problems here about 10 years ago, maybe less. And everybody was it going to flood Florida? It's going to flood the coast over in trouble. All this stuff. Oh, it's terrible, terrible, terrible. Oil coming up. Oh, everything's going to be terrible. And they were carrying on about how terrible it's going to be. The media and everybody was carrying on about how terrible it's going to be and building up. And then all of a sudden, nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. In one day, nothing.
All right. Doctor, by the way, just to clarify, you're not a medical doctor. I just want to clarify that. You've got a PhD.
Yeah, be sure to clarify that. I'm no doctor.
Well, I'll call you a doctor out of respect for your PhD status. Okay. I do believe, frankly, that this Communist Chinese Party virus is real. I do believe there are real victims. And I have to agree with you, the evidence as seen in that compilation, the video, compiled by, Dana Ashley, I have to agree. It's pretty compelling. So the question I would have, but we have people reportedly dying who are very well known. I mean, there are numerous people who supposedly have passed away from this specific virus, ostensibly. At least that's what we've been told. So what's going on then? What are we seeing? I mean, you, you've got a few years on me, a few more years on me. You've lived and you've studied and you've seen, you've researched. What's going on?
I remember Moses coming down off the mount. Yes.
Yeah, you're not. Yeah. But so what are we seeing here then? If it's, we're seeing a real virus, but a fake pandemic, is that what you're saying? And if so, why? To what end? What's the objective here? And who's behind it?
You see, what we have to do is we have to look at history. We have to look at what's been going on. 1776, the Illuminati, which of course didn't ever exist, but in 1776, on May the 1st, it organized. That's what May Day is all about. That's those celebrations. Anyway, so here we have a group of people formed to destroy religion, to destroy the morals of the world. That's their goal. Well, Bavaria wouldn't take them, so they had to hide. They hid in Scotland in the Masonic Order there in Scotland and continued. And then they slowly came back into focus. But they came into focus in a small group. In the 1880s, Cecil Rhodes started what's called the inquiry groups. The circle groups, I'm sorry. And the inquiry group was started in the U.S. in the 1915. CFR was started in about 21. All of these have a particular goal. The goal of all of this that I just went through is to get a world under control of the rich and the elite. That's all it's for, is to get us under control. Then in the latter part of the 1900s, they began to talk about what they expected the population to be. 5% of what exists today. 5%. That's all they want. We can get rid of 95% of us. That's the 5% is what they feel they need to take care of them as slaves. I believe that the pattern has been established that the people, the folks that are behind this have been behind all the things that have been going on to gain more power and more authority and more control over us. And now they're showing us how easy it is to get control. If this is a dry run, then it'll go away without difficulty here soon. Then it'll come back with a vengeance. This may not be a dry run. This may be a test to see if we will allow them to take us over. I believe this is a case where the people are being funneled into a behavior that helps them get control of us. And that's how I see it. They're not having any trouble. They're not stopping business. They're carrying on like normal. The medias were purchased by the Rothschild agent, Morgan, J.P. Morgan, in the 1920s. So that they could control the news. Then Walter Lippmann was placed there to write the right things so that they could keep us informed of what they want us to be informed about. Another issue of this same thing could be seen if you want to watch the movie V. The best part of the movie V shows these people coming, benevolent people coming to help us. And then they slowly take over the United States, actually the world. But they slowly, in the movie, they slowly take over the United States and it becomes a police state. And guys, I believe those are just representations in fiction of what could happen to us. And I think to myself, why are we throwing away all that was earned by our forefathers, all that was earned by the people who bled to get us freedom? Why are we throwing away because we might, maybe, perhaps meet somebody who maybe has a disease? I don't care if I meet someone with the flu. I don't care about that. Why do I care about this? Why is this so important? Well, it's important because the people in charge, i.e. the shadow government, want us to be under control. And this is how they're doing it. And again, okay, the series of books tells the story and it gives all the background. And this is just an outcome of that.
You're exactly right. And Liberty, Will It Survive, which is over that shoulder right there. You can see it in the back. That series is fantastic. By the way, two other books. including Saving the Constitution, which is a fabulous book. Saving the Constitution. If you can only buy one book, Saving the Constitution would be the one.
That's the one.
Here it is. And I got to tell you, this is a good read. It's an easy read. It's not a simple topic. Well, I guess it is a simple topic. It's freedom versus tyranny. That's what it is. And then, of course, a constitution, if you can keep it. My second favorite. Well, actually, they're all my favorites. The series is probably my favorite because I like digging into things. But Saving the Constitution and the Constitution, if you can keep it. But so let me ask this question now at this juncture. You've got the who. You've got the what. Now, why now? The how would be the panic from the hype in pushing the pandemic. But why now? Why at this time? Why in 2020, 2019, 2020? Why not 6 years ago? Why now?
Maybe this is only speculation. I've not thought about that question particularly. This is speculation. But maybe it has something to do with Trump's election in 2016, where the people rose up and said, we're not going to accept any more of this stuff. We want somebody to represent us. Maybe that's the reason. And then all these things they've tried to impeach Trump with has all fallen flat on their face. They've been shown to be lies over and over and over again. So perhaps this is the reason it's now, because they've got to get control of us again because we exercise some independence over the last 3 years. And that's unacceptable. We were going down the path very nicely. And all of a sudden we stood up and said, no. So then they brought this down upon us to put us in our place. Perhaps that's it. Just a speculation, but I'm sure it's political. Nothing in politics is coincidental. Nothing in government is coincidental. These things happen on plans. So to answer that question, my thought is, it's because we stood up against them 3 years ago, 4 years ago now, I guess, 16. We stood up against them. The left tries to claim that young lady got the majority of the votes, the majority of the people voted for her. If we consider the popular vote majority, the majority of the vote that was in, 300 counties out of 3,000. So I don't know that 3,000 counties, 300 counties oversee 3,000 counties.
Good point.
All the people that were all the people in the 300 counties could control the country with their population. The other 3,000 is the population, but it's spread out. You know, we got a big country and only a few hundred square miles is controlling our country if we allow the popular vote. Or the popular vote, or the population center vote, to control us. Perhaps this is a punishment because of what we did in our country.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I didn't mean to overtalk you or interrupt you here. I know Skype's got a kind of a delay, and I apologize. It's interesting because wasn't there just a recent push to get rid of the Electoral College and go with, you know, the straight popular vote? Wasn't that just a recent push for that, or am I mistaken?
Oh, yes. That started about 4 months ago, and it's not stopped. It's still going. They're aiming for the National Popular Vote, NPL, NPE, and MPV. I'm sorry. I can't get the initials right. MPV, National Popular Vote. They're pushing for that. And several states have passed the law that says our people, when we get our electoral votes into the mix, we will go with the popular vote of the country, the popular vote of the country, which in essence means that the people in those states might as well not vote for president. Waste of time. Because no matter what comes out of it, it's going to go to those 300 counties. Yeah.
Right.
So a waste of time to do it.
Okay. All right. Again, my guest is Dr. Richard Proctor, provisinstitute.com. That is P-R-O-V like Victor I-S, provisinstitute.com. There it is on your screen, folks. Bookmark that, the website. Also, go and definitely purchase the as many of his books as you can afford, including and especially Saving the Constitution and the Constitution if you can keep it, and then for extra credit, the Liberty series. I'm going to tell you, it's an amazing series. By the way, just a recap, according to the Daily Mail, the U.S. hits new record highest number of coronavirus deaths in a day. 1,917 fatalities are reported in 24 hours to bring the death toll to 12,935. Reportedly, infections surpass 402,383. I don't know how they figure that out with a testing rate of 0.3%, but there it is. Okay, so by the way, the other videos, we're having issues, so that one video.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Oh, let me just say this.
Go ahead.
If anybody wants them, I've got them. I'll email them to anybody who asks. Email address to me. I'll send them to you.
Okay.
I'll send them. I have all four of a special spot. I need Eric to show me how to do all four of them in one email. I don't know how to do that. So far, I'm doing four emails.
Well, whatever works. By the way, I think the size might have an issue. So maybe four emails might be a better choice, given the fact that unless they're just links. I can't remember. Frankly, I can't remember how you sent
them. Two of them are just words. They're not a video. Two are videos. One video shorter than the other. You showed the 13-minute one. That's the longest.
Okay. All right. Well, good. Okay. So what do we do? I mean, but okay. I can't even form sentences. 17 million Americans unemployed at present, as I mentioned earlier, which is the highest number. It dwarfs the percentage wise. It dwarfs the Great Depression. We have travel restrictions. We have one of the things. You know, I don't quite understand this. The order from Los Angeles, doctor, from Garcetti, the mayor, which was issued on March 19th, tells people to stay in their home. In their home. I don't quite understand. I was looking at this order, which was 7 pages, the actual order itself, and it's telling people to stay in their home. It don't even go outside, basically. Uh-huh. I mean,
Self-incarcerate. Self-incarcerate. The Constitution says we've got to be accused of something and it's got to go to a grand jury. But if we self-incarcerate, then put ourselves in jail in our own homes, okay, put bars up so we can't go out the door, that's the same thing. We're just doing it by ourselves, for ourselves, without due process of law.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, how do we know that our economy is already damaged. How do we fix this?
The fix. The fix today. Well, the fix, the longer it takes, Doug, before we get to the fix, the tougher it's going to be. There are small businesses that have closed their doors. They will not reopen. Small business is the foundation of our country. The big businesses, they'll carry on. They have money. But the small businesses, they can't make it. Some restaurants work on such a small thing that if they don't have the right people coming in a week, they won't open the next week. A month can close many restaurants. We are in a spot where businesses that used to exist are going to have trouble getting started again. If it goes on much longer, more and more of that will be more difficult. Economically, we're in an absolute disaster. I mean, supply and demand is very important, but there is no demand, therefore there's no supply. If we don't get manufacturing and people doing things again, making things again, building things, doing stuff, then they won't be around to do it because the skills will be gone. The organizations will be gone. They talk about we're going to build homes or stuff. The mortgage industry has shut themselves down all by them lonely self. They've shut themselves down. So that means that homes aren't being purchased. That means the homes won't be built. If homes aren't built, where will we stay? In tents? Like they do at LA now. I mean, where will we stay? And if nobody works, nothing's built. If nobody buys anything, nothing's sold. If nothing's sold, nothing can be bought. No stock needs to be repurchased. I mean, it just goes on like that. Fortunately, my publishers They're not paying any attention. They're going right ahead and doing their work. I drive down and get my books. Good people I'm working with. But folks, this is, if it gets to the point where they start looking around like they do in some places in the world and arrest you, throw you in jail, or fine you if you're on the streets, then it'll even be worse than it is now, because then nothing will happen. Oh, guys, we're in a terrible shape. None of this happened in the Depression. They tried to get everybody to work. The government had the WPA to put people to work. Well, today they've got to stay home and shelter. Don't work. That's not right. We've got to do something. And it's got to be done by the people. They've got to take an initiative. We've got to decide that we want our freedoms, that we want our country. But until we decide that, then somebody else will decide for us. And if we just apathetically stop, then the other people who decided for us, they've won. Mm. What's that statement that something happens? If we give in, they've won. I don't remember what that was. Not too long ago. I don't remember. I'm sorry. I can't remember everything. This one I can't remember. But
you do better than me. That's for sure.
Yeah. But if the day comes that we try to go back to work and there's nothing to work, no places to go, try to go buy food and there's no food to buy, now what will we think? We've got to do something, and staying home isn't producing or selling anything.
Okay.
Economies in the world are hurt.
Like a lot of people, I suspect, or maybe not, I watched the president, his daily briefings with respect to this, and he's been pushing, you know, the fact that we've got to get back to work. He's been on that side pretty consistently. And hoping for, or saying, you know, hey, mid-April we can do this, and you know, here within the next couple of weeks, you know, we're getting there. Yet I see people like Dr. Fauci and Birx and others saying, yeah, not so fast, or you know, people saying, well, this could be months, and then it could come back and, you know, and reinfect us, and we could be in the same or worse position in the fall or in the winter. It's confusing the people. Do you see, I guess my question though is, is President Trump, does he appear to be doing the right thing with respect to the information that he's given? Are his actions representative of a president who,
I wish I was a fly on the wall, because President Trump has always done what business needs. That's his philosophy. Maybe there's pressures behind him that we have no idea about that's forcing him to not take the positions that he would take as a businessman. He knows full well what's going to happen if this economy doesn't get back to work. There's no question in my mind. He knows. But there may be forces behind him that absolutely are gagging him so he can't do what he needs to do or say what he needs to say. The other day, it's reported to me, I don't know that this happened, but it's reported to me that pressures are being brought to him to force all the governors to go into a complete total lockdown and bar their borders. And he's saying, no, I'm not going to bother the governors. Constitution doesn't allow me to do that. Now that's a big step in today's society. Many of the governors don't realize that they've sworn to uphold the Constitution and they're violating it right and left. We pretend like it's for health, but if there's no pandemic, then there's no reason for that health problem. No, we don't have a pandemic of the flu every year.
No, that's true. Now, what if, okay, so what if this was in fact like work with me for a second here. What if this was in fact worse than they're saying it is? Worse than Fauci and Birx and others say that it is, and you know, worse than the World Health Organization's. What if that were the case? At what point does the president or does the Constitution, if at all, have the requirement, the duty to protect its people? I guess that I'm looking for an answer. Is there any situation that the Constitution and the president could say, "Hey, stop! We got to stop everything and handle this."
There is no provision in the Constitution itself, none at all. The states can do that individually, but the Constitution itself limits that. Just a minute.
Sure, no worries. Happens here all the time.
I'm taking that out.
There you go.
We got rid of that. It's out of the way.
All right.
See, I'm on the phone usually, and that doesn't happen.
Well, see,
today it did.
You know, no worries. I same thing happens here. You know, just press the red stop button, and it'll stop. Anyway, it happens here all the time. I forget to turn the phone off, and once I do, I forget to turn it back on. So anyway, okay. So yeah, so
that's a landline. That's a landline, not a cell phone.
Me too.
So,
I mean,
anyway.
Yeah, I have a rotary phone here somewhere. So, so okay. So with respect to if it were as bad or worse than what they say, the Constitution, or there's nothing in the Constitution that requires the president to
nothing
or allows
nothing that allows it. Now, one could extend the thought of domestic terrorism, okay,
right.
But it isn't that. It's a disease, presumably. And if it's as bad as they say it is, then I would know that, and I would be hunkering down myself just like they want me to. But okay. They wouldn't have videos like we just saw. So it isn't like they say it is. It may be more than I think it is.
Hey, it's my
it
turn.
It isn't what they're saying.
It's my
I'm
turn now.
Shut up. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. See,
I didn't silence the phones. Oh, this is fun. Okay. All right.
Well, you know, this is a good environment. I like this environment.
Hey, we're laid back.
Say so that we have back and forth.
Yeah, you know, and I got to tell you, it's really good to see you. And folks, Dr. Richard Proctor, what a guy working on getting himself on Skype. Here and Eric with the help of Eric the Tech, but it's good to see him actually on screen. He and folks watch him on InfoWars, David Knight's show, every other week, right? Every 2 weeks you're on, or every other week?
Yes, every 2 weeks. On Friday, it's supposed to be every other Friday, so not this one, but the following Friday.
Sounds
things
good.
Come up though on his show too, and he has to go a different direction. So I missed a couple.
Yeah, yeah, I get that. I understand that. But
and
again,
I plan to,
go ahead.
I plan to be on Skype with him too from now on.
Sounds good. I'm sure he'll be pleased. Saving the Constitution, folks, is a book I highly recommend. Oops, I am camera challenged. Here's the book, Saving the Constitution, Dr. Richard Proctor. This is the go-to book for if you're going to buy one book out of the array of books at provisinstitute.com is Saving the Constitution. The Constitution, if you can keep it, another great one right here. This is a spiral-bound one. I like this because I can lay the pages flat, take notes, and I just like that format. And, of course, behind me, over my shoulder, you can't see it right now, is the Liberty Series, that's for extra credit. But I'll tell you what, I would, if I were you, I would grab that series because that's a great series. And let's work Dr. Proctor pretty hard and make him carry boxes to the post office. All right. And by the way, free shipping on that, which is amazing to me because it costs a lot of money to ship books. So thank you for that.
We do free ship. We don't charge them. We want the books out. We don't charge anybody.
All right, so that's good. So okay, now so here we sit. It's early April, the first week or what is it? The 8th of April. Now what? Now what do we do? I mean, do we corral a bunch of people and say? I mean, how do we do this?
How do we get them to get to work? I mean, how do we do that?
Yeah,
it's really
going
to be tough. We're fighting against a media that sounds like the whole world's collapsing around us. And those few that are waving a flag saying, hey, look, they're not being paid any attention to. I mean, like happened to me the other day in the post office, the guy's yelling at me because I had the gall to say, maybe this isn't true. Oh, he's yelling at me. That's where we are.
You know, I
and I don't know how to do different than you are doing.
Okay. Well, I mean, I was in Lowe's. I had to pick up a cabinet the other day, a shelf unit the other day. And, I had met the sales associate there and I said, I was looking around because everyone was wearing masks and gloves It looked like, you know, something from the Andromeda strain in there. And I'm looking around and I'm talking to the guy and I said, I asked him, I said, do you see anything wrong with this? And he said, yeah, I do. And the conversation proceeded, but he said, what I see wrong essentially was, if you have to wear masks and gloves to buy a bag of Whedon seed, you shouldn't be out buying a bag of Whedon seed. Anyway, the conversation extended and, went on for a minute more, back and forth. And then I looked at him and I said, so, you, believe everything you read and see or read and hear. He said, well, it's bad. And I said, okay, so where are you going to be working 6 months from now? And he looked at me like I had two heads. And I meant that because if we would go by his model, there would be no more business to come back to, you know?
So, that's right. That's right. People are saying, this is serious. We've got to do what the government says. This is serious. We must do what the government says. And how do we know what the government says? The media tells us what the government says.
You're right
on
that.
How accurate are they? How accurate are they?
Well, we know. Did you? I could ask you this. Did you see that Chinese? I don't know whether you saw this. There was a Chinese reporter, a female reporter, working for a station, and it was some innocuous sounding station. news channel asking President Trump a question, and President Trump looked at her and says, do you work for China? And she gave this roundabout answer, but the citizen journalists and other journalists who are paying attention to this found out that this woman was working for the Communist Party, Chinese Communist Party, essentially the station or network that she was working for was founded and funded by a Communist Chinese Party member. So, anyway, for what that's worth. So, yeah, the media is kind of antagonistic.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the media wants us to believe everything they say. And we already know that the confidence in the media has been decreasing over the last several years. I haven't watched a news program on the media for 10 years.
You're much better off for it. I know that because all we're seeing, you know, the handful, like you said earlier, I mean, you've got six corporations that own
six.
The media. Yeah.
Six. That's the number. Six. However I do that. Six. That's all it is. They own the whole thing.
Yep. And the rest of us out here, now I am not a journalist. I'm not a journalist. I'm not a reporter. I'm an investigator. Just sitting behind a microphone talking to friends like Dr. Richard Proctor and trying to make sense out of everything that you're looking at too, folks. So, you know, we're all in this together. So, okay. I guess, when threatened with arrest, and I have to say, would you wear a mask out in public? Would you do that?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
I won't wear a mask out and don't wear gloves either. I don't believe there's a problem. I believe there's a disease. I don't believe there's a problem.
You don't believe there's a pandemic as described by the media.
I believe it.
Okay. All right. So
I did in the first beginning. Now understand the very beginning when I first read about this and understood it be around January the 21st when I first did, then I thought, this could be very serious. But then as the statistics began to mount more and more and more, then I looked closer and closer and said, well, maybe not. And now I say, no, it isn't. Okay. I went over that direction. I didn't just jump in and say, oh, this is bad. I didn't do that. I waited until I had enough information to be able to make what I call a proper response.
Okay. Which I think we all do that. I think based on our observations, our opinions evolve. Our observations contribute to this evolution of our, you know, what we're sensing, what we're seeing. I gotta tell you, I've got a really bad feeling about where this could end up, and where this could end up could be, us not having a cohesive country, us not having a viable country.
It could end up right there, yes.
And
tribes.
Tribes. Tribalism. Yep. And that's, I guess that would be one of the objectives of the status, the globalist, to destroy our nation, to take away our nation, and to, just to take us over and kill us. I mean, they want us dead, don't they? I mean, the elitists, they want us dead.
They want us dead. But how do I don't understand? These are all intelligent people. If there's nobody building things or nobody growing things and all that kind of stuff, how are they expecting to survive themselves? They have already proven to us that communism, socialism doesn't work. Socialism just doesn't work. They've already proven that to us and to them. Why are they then pushing so hard for a socialistic world when they know that without free enterprise, the economies don't work. They don't run. Just a simple thing like a pencil. I've got a pencil right here. I'm going to hold it up. Okay, somewhere in here. I've got a pencil right. I can't hold. There it is. There it is. Okay, I've got a pencil. I finally got it in the camera. We could never make a pencil if we had to depend on government to do it. In the first place, they can't develop anything that they don't already know about. If they didn't know there was a pencil, they could never do a pencil. It takes people and ingenuity and thought to develop anything. Socialism can never develop anything new because it depends on government to assign jobs and to assign industries. And since they must assign them and they don't know what they're to assign to, they won't assign it because they don't know it exists. I'm sure there's something right now today that will be around in a year that today I didn't know existed. And I could never think to do it. The government wouldn't know it existed if we didn't have free enterprise and ingenuity and thought to do it. You know those weed whackers that we have today that are so common?
Sure.
That started because a young man or an old man or a middle-aged man, I don't know, he was sitting on the somewhere and he saw that if he took a piece of string or a wire or something and he swashed at it, it cut the grass. Well, now that's interesting. What can I do with that? And he developed what we have today as weed whackers, which 20 years ago, I could say, nobody would even have a concept of. Since there was no concept of it, it would not have happened in a social environment, a socialistic environment. Socialism never produces anything new because there is no innovation. There is no freedom to think and do and try. You know, that's the only way it works. And fail. Failure is very important. You try something and it doesn't work. That's failure. Well, socialism will quit, even if they knew to try. But people, they say, no, I can overcome that. And they do another thing and they can overcome that and they can do another one, another one, another one. That's how it works. And it's done in a capitalist environment where people can think and do and get rewarded for what they do. And therefore they're encouraged to do again and try another way.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what free enterprise is.
Exactly. You held up a pencil, and I'm sure you've seen iPencil.
I have it in my books. Yes, it's published in the volumes.
Oh, that's okay. Okay, that's where I first. For some reason, I didn't know about that before. That's where I first saw it, and then of course there's a Mike Huckabee did a video on it. When I got looking for it, you're right. I mean, if people knew what goes into the creation of a pencil. And Mark Levin did a marvelous video about that. He had the iPencil video in one of his recent shows. Just an amazing, expose of capitalism and of the free market system. And it's really educational as well. So that was really good. I'm going to get your take on by the way, Vice President Pence today came out in response to a reported. This was reported by way of Yahoo News through Bloomberg. Poultry workers, Tyson Foods, people getting sick. Vice President Pence says, "You know what? You got. You're essential. You got to get back and do your job." Which brings me to the question. If Vice President Pence says that to a Tyson food worker, poultry worker, whatever, or Tyson Foods or this particular part of the enterprise system, I mean, who determines what's essential and what's not? Isn't that part of the issue?
Yes. In the real world, the market determines what's essential and what's not. When government tries to determine what's essential and not, they always make a mistake. It's always done wrong. I mean, yes, Tyson Foods needs to get back to work. They've got to. The truckers have got to get back, and they've got to have something to truck. It's got to get back to work. I mean, I called some people that I needed to get some boxes from. Oh, we're shut down. What do you mean you're shut down? I need your product. Oh, well, there's still somebody there. You can go get it. Good. Oh. And I did.
Well, the person there must not be essential, or maybe that person is essential to be. But yeah, okay. Yeah. Wow.
They were in the building. They wouldn't let me inside, but they took their stuff out, put it in my car. They wouldn't let me inside the building. I didn't care. I got it in the car. I drove home. Again, I go where I need to go. I do what I need to do.
Well,
I haven't shut down.
We haven't shut down either. And I don't know. You see this haircut. I don't think you've ever seen me, but I used to have hair until Eric the Tech and a pair of dog clippers, because I couldn't go. There are no barbers or hair places to get your haircut. So I had to get a Flobee and Eric the Tech to take care of me. But anyway, it's amazing, again, to see what's essential and what's not. But okay, what about the elections coming up? Do you see them as being a target? We have the Democratic National Convention, Republican convention this year, and then the elections. Do you see them as a target? And is that within the purview of this target-rich environment of the globalists against this, or using this so-called pandemic to shut down our electoral system, election system?
I would say this, just again, my thoughts only. Remember, the Democratic Party wants control again. They want their socialism control. They want to get us under their thumb again. They probably figure, this is just analysis of thought. They probably figure that those who want them, because they can get handouts from them, will want them more than the people who don't get handouts. For example, an awfully lot of people register to vote, but they don't go vote because it's inconvenient for them to do it. Well, now they're going to make all these things viral, that's not the right word, virtual. They're going to make all these things virtual on the computer. And now it will be easy. But there's a lot of people that won't do it just because it's not their normal thing to do. And I believe that the Republican Party vote will decrease significantly. And the I want stuff from government party will increase significantly. And this could be a way to get their power back also. They want Trump out of there. Well, one way to get Trump out of there is to hope that nobody will vote for him like they did the last time. So let's set up a different system that maybe won't appeal to people quite the same way. I'm sure that a lot of mail goes out for mail-in ballots that does not get returned. I'm sure of that.
Yeah.
So I believe that's kind of what the goal is. If I had an envelope in my hand that said, if you send this envelope in, I'm going to give you $100 a month for life, I'd be more prone to send it in than one that said, put a stamp on it. You see what I mean?
I do.
I think this whole thing is a backdoor approach, without saying that they're censoring who can vote, but by virtue of the kind of people that are voting and what they want from the voting, how they're interested in the voting, it will lessen the vote for those people who want you to put a stamp on, as opposed to those people who, if I send it in, I get $100 a month for life.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I agree with you on that. What do you think this stipend of up to $1,200 per what is it, per person coming out?
I said per American, I think.
Per American. Okay. What do you think of that?
I think it will be a horrible thing to do.
Okay, good.
$1,200 won't help any one person for more than just a few days, maybe 2 weeks. But the inflation will destroy our economy from now on. I mean, raise the prices and destroy that part of the economy from now on. Inflation doesn't go backwards unless you destroy money. We don't destroy it. We're producing it like mad. So they talk about tree and leaves. My, we've got a whole forest that's going, it's growing as fast as it can grow. That's inflationary. The prices will go up. They won't go back down again because money won't be destroyed. It's hard to destroy money. Oh, it's not hard, but they don't want to do it. So, I see this $1,200 being a parachute to try to make people think that they're going to be better off.
Yes.
No, they won't. I would like to have the $1,200. That would be nice. I don't mind. I'd take the $12, but I don't want them to send it to me if they're going to send it to everybody, because then everybody gets the same and the prices just go up accordingly.
That's an interesting statement, yes.
Doesn't do a thing for us. It's a minimum wage. I mean, I was back in the days when there really wasn't, there was one, but it really wasn't a minimum wage. My father said, don't go to work if it's just 50 cents an hour. That's not enough. Get at least 75. Well, that's what I did. I did get 75 cents an hour when I went to work. First time I worked for somebody, 75 cents an hour.
But that wasn't government mandated back then, was it?
The mandate was even less than that. But the mandated number was less. They started having minimum wages sometime in the 40s or sometime in that area.
Okay.
I haven't looked back to the detail of that. But it wasn't until the 60s that they really started putting minimum wage up. And we've destroyed jobs. That's exactly that's the only thing it does. People think, oh, I'll make more money. Well, you won't make more money if you don't have any place to go to work. And so what's the minimum wage? $15 an hour? That means that McDonald's and all these places are going to put up podiums that you go to do your ordering. And now all of a sudden, all the people that order are gone.
Yeah, enjoy your minimum wage, workers. Yeah. You won't have anything to – yeah, exactly.
That's right. Yeah. We don't have ushers in theaters anymore. We only have one ticket taker. We only have for 10 screens, where we used to have 10 ticket waiters. We only have one or two people selling tickets for 10 screens. We used to have one for every screen. I mean, those have all gone. You used to be able to drive in to get a gas station. The gas station people run out to the car, check your windshield, check the tires, check the oil, do all kinds of stuff.
Try a little bow tie.
Well, they pumped your gas, and it was 25 cents a gallon.
Yep. Yeah, I remember those days, and you know how much has changed. My goodness,
minimum wage.
We only have about, I can't believe how quickly this has gone. We only have about 15 minutes left of the program. I always leave my time with you thinking, did I ask the right questions? And did I ask all the questions, or should I have? You know, so I guess I'm going to leave this to you. What questions haven't I asked that I should have asked? I asked the right questions, and what else,
You do a good job, Doug, a really good job of asking the right questions. Let me see. Let me look at my stuff. Situations are being established as normal. Here's a thought. Maybe we've already touched on it. The situations that are occurring today, people being afraid of their neighbors, things like that are just starting, they will leave a lasting effect. How serious will it be? Will it be really bad if we actually get to the point where our neighbors will wear gloves to come and see us? That'll be very bad. You won't go to anybody's home for dinner because that's not done anymore. That's a situation that's starting to be established. How far will it go? I don't know. That's a serious item. We're also showing the government right now that if they want our attention, they can get it in a flash. This has only been 3 months. Look at the attention they got. I mean, that's a flash. That's faster than Wilson was able to get on a war footing. It took 6 months to do that. Look at so there's another item that's changed. They have learned by testing us, if that's all they're doing, they've learned by testing us what they can get away with. That's another situation that's changed that may not return.
Good point. Good point.
These are the things. These are the things we need to be worried about. Culture. What's happening to our culture? The interaction with people. Now, social networks seem to be going wildfire, but that's a more monitoring of our lives. That's why it's going to go by wildfire. Everybody says, oh, well, I can still communicate. I can still get on social network. Yeah, I can do everything. No, you can't. You can do what you want, but you'll be watched. It's all being watched. Buffdale, Utah, not too far from where I'm sitting. It has a new government watching facility. They've got 2 or 3 zettabytes. I've mentioned that before, how many zettabytes. Zettabytes are a really big number. 21 zeros or more behind it. Mm-hmm. It's a huge number. And you can say what you want to say, but you're going to have to be careful because you'll know that the government is paying attention. And so you'll be saying to yourself, can I say that? And that's another situation that will change. Things like that. Is my neighbor doing the right thing? Shall I turn him in? That's another situation that will, current thing that will change. These are things that are going to subtly change in our economy, in our lives, in our culture, that will be negative things that will happen to us because of this event these last 3 months. How much will happen will depend on the initiative of the people in the country, if they accept that or not. Now, me, I'm not going to accept it. I'll go eat dinner with anybody who wants to invite me. I don't care. Wear gloves or not, I don't care. And I'm not going to give in. I don't have anything to do to them either, so I know I'm not spreading anything. We're just going to press on and do stuff.
Right.
I mean, we've got people here in Kaysville that are acting like we're in New York City. We're not in New York City. We're in Kaysville. I suspect there's not one true case of this thing in Kaysville. Yet we have people thinking they've got it. But I suspect there's not one true case in this entire city of 40,000 people. And maybe I can include that to be our whole county, which is a couple of 100,000 people. There's probably not one true case, but we're all thinking there is.
Right.
This is serious.
This is a case of perception becoming reality in many cases. You know, again, and I'm glad you clarified the fact. And folks, you know, look, the virus is real. Yes, it's real. But the hype and the use of the word pandemic is overblown. And I, in case you didn't see this, Doctor, President Trump came out swinging at the WHO, World Health Organization. In fact, he was on Hannity. There was an interview on Hannity, last night where he slammed the World Health Organization for its China-centric views. And he added that, the Global Health Agency's projections and pronouncements about the coronavirus pandemic have been routinely wrong. One of the World Health Organization's earliest flawed pronouncements, this according to President Trump, was to strongly recommend against the U.S. restricting travel from China. Now, if one is to believe the virus is real and originated in China, then the first obvious thing to do would be to say, well, keep it over there. Don't come over here. Restrict the travel. And of course, he got lit up for that back and forth. Long and short of it is, the World Health Organization was not pleased at, President Trump's remarks. But so you can kind of tell just on that exchange alone, I believe that the president's quite aware of what's going on with respect to the World Health Organization and who they are really, working for or favoring. So there's just one example, but very interesting indeed. So your answer or your message today is, you know what? We need to get back to work. Let's get back to work. Let's get out and do things and, be smart. But, I mean, obviously be smart, yeah.
I've always said that, be prudent, but it becomes less and less necessary as we learn more and more. For example, I think it was in England. They came out over 200,000 deaths will occur in England. Well, recently it's 25,000. Next week it'll be 2,000. Someday they'll actually figure out that it was only 300. I don't know if that's the numbers right. Don't get me wrong, guys. I know there's a disease and I know it's serious. It's a lung disease. It does suffocate people and they die. I understand that. So there is a real true disease that's been put out by somebody for whatever purpose they had. But the rest of it is just fluff to try to get us under their thumbs. Folks, we're in trouble. They want us under their thumbs. We must, through just our own personal initiatives, we must rebel against that being put under their thumbs.
Amen to that. Saving the Constitution. That's the book. That's for the person listening that could, that's got money for one book. This would be the book, Saving the Constitution.
Yes.
All right. Saving the Constitution would be number one. The Liberty series behind me is, I'm going to tell you folks, that's graduate level stuff. It's an easy read. It's, documented well, but it's really helps you understand how we got here, why we're here, how we got here, and, what's going to happen if we don't do anything about it. That's the Liberty series. And of course, the Constitution, if you can keep it. And, these are the books at provisinstitute.com. With the few minutes we have left, parting comments, parting words of wisdom. We can, exchange recipes or whatever, but, no, your parting words of wisdom, my friend.
Parting words of wisdom. My, oh my. You ask me this each week.
You know? I do.
Each week I have to hustle to get the parting words of wisdom. Well, I don't know if I could say anything different than I've been saying for the last 2 hours. My parting words of wisdom would be learn all you can learn about what's been going on and what's happened in the past. And know this, that if we don't learn it, we will repeat it. So learn it and know what's happened in the past under any source that you can get. Any source, learn it. And then after learning it, cogitate. Think about what you've learned. Think about the situation. Be careful about the statistics that you see. Like we mentioned last week, I believe, we mentioned the 17,000 collected in one evening, and they couldn't even do that many tests even.
That's right.
To find 17,000 positives. Think about those things that are logical. Think of things as being, is it actually within the scope of this organization to do that, to say that? Are there, always remember that there are other things in the background. Follow the money. You've heard of that. Follow the money. See where the money is. I would also say follow the power. See where the power is. See who wants to do what to who. Remember, nothing the government does is by coincidence. Nothing is by coincidence. Everything is planned. Government doesn't do things by coincidence. So if it's all planned, then this has been planned. The media reports what they're told to report. If they don't tell it, they get fired and they have to get another job. They can't say what they want. That's also brought out in my discussion of the media in my books. What they do, what they've said, what's happened to them. They know that they've got to say what they're told. So they do. And they have to be very stern about it and have to believe every word they're saying, whether or not they do. And you get the impression they really do believe it. And maybe they do, but maybe they don't. You've got to weigh all these things. You've got to be observant. If you don't ponder what's happening, you'll be sucked in. Always, on everything. Hey, you already know how to take care of these used car salesmen. You know when you're being sucked in. Learn when you're being sucked in by the government and by the media. Don't worship the media. Don't worship the media.
That's a sage advice. And I better get this in here before I get Susie from South Florida actually sent an email asking me to ask you about this. And this is especially prevalent in light of Anthony Fauci's, a statement that, he's setting the stage for mandatory vaccinations. From South Florida, she writes, if faced with a mandatory vaccination situation, how do we respond within the Constitution? Susie from South Florida, your answer to that.
Now, remember when we had the bird flu running around not too many years ago?
Right.
That was during the Obama administration. And I made a resolution to myself. I will not take those vaccinations, those NI11, whatever they were. I will not do it. If they show up at my door with the vaccination, I will say, no, I'm not interested. Have a nice day. Go visit somebody else. If they show up with a gun and point it in my face, I'll probably take the vaccination. That's how I will treat this one, too, if they come up with one. Same reason. You see, you never know what's in those vaccinations. You just know what they tell you, but they don't tell you what's true. They just tell you what they want you to know. I think the vaccinations we had are laced with lead and other things. I think the stuff that they're giving to the kids before they go to school is detrimental to the children, fiercely detrimental. Oh, I get in trouble for saying things like that, but it's fiercely detrimental. We are becoming a vaccination nation. We think everything will be solved with a pill or a shot. It isn't. We don't know what we're getting. I never take the flu, flu vaccination, and I've never had the flu. I won't have that poison in my body. I resist every vaccination. Now, if I was bitten by a rabid dog, I'd take the vaccination. Okay?
Right.
You've got to be careful. But at the same time, you need to understand that if it's something that you don't want to get, that you may get because you take the vaccination, then don't take it. And you should treat the medicines the same way. Some of the medicines that they've been giving out in the hospitals in Italy, I can't speak for here, but the hospitals in Italy, some of the medicines that's been giving out actually exacerbated the conditions that people came in with, and they died from those conditions.
That's correct.
And they probably did not have anything to do with this coronavirus.
Right. And yes, and that's been reported in Italy, especially I think in northern Italy, if I recall correctly. And I'm wondering if Tucker Carlson had addressed that in this video. Okay, now is that to say too? Because interesting response, and I should have asked this before now. But what if the vaccination, the knock on the door, a needle and a syringe in one hand and a gun in the other. But what if that was intended for, your grandchild? Again, is this a hill that you're not willing to die on in terms of, saying you can't do this or?
Well, that's really a tough question. Here we have my grandchild sitting here and they're going to inject the kid or shoot me. Isn't that really what you just asked?
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
I believe that the vaccination is a disease carrier.
Right.
I would do all I could to prevent it.
Okay. And we'll leave it there because, engaging in hypotheticals beyond that point, it could be dangerous. But yeah, I'm in agreement with you on that. Nobody is going to be chasing me around with a syringe.
I'm a diabetic. When that thing was going on with that disease, when I thought they might actually come to the door, the other option was they would take me and throw me in prison. They did, and they did build concentration camps to do that too. They're around. But anyway, I believe that they would have taken me. Then I had a choice. If I'm taken to go to prison, I won't get fed right and I'll die from diabetes. Or I can take the shot and maybe I'll die from that. So that's again holding the gun in your face. I would have then taken the shot rather than go to prison because I knew I would die there.
Right. Wow.
And it would be a tough death. They're going to shoot me. That's why it's not so tough. And these are a lot of things you've got to think about. The Revolutionary War soldiers thought the same thing. Remember, they shot grape out of their cannons and they knew what it did to the foe. They also knew the British shot grape out of their cannons and they knew what it would do to them. They still were there.
And that is why you're the master with respect to saving the Constitution, saving our Constitution, folks. Hey, I don't care if you're listening to this in Canada or where you're listening to this. This book is for you, but especially for each one of us who are Americans, Saving the Constitution. ProvisInstitute.com. We're out of time. Dr. Proctor,
I got to say one thing, though. If it's overseas, I can't do the shipping free. I can't do the shipping to Canada. It costs $25.
I know.
I can't do the shipping to Canada for free.
Okay. Well, hey, folks, look, if you're in the United States, this is for you. If you're in Canada, hey, my goodness, you can
just know the price.
Absolutely. All right, my friend, thank you so very much for your gracious gift of time. I'm so glad you were on by video. It's really good to see you. It really is.
You don't want to look at this. I don't want to look at it.
All right. You're a good looking guy. Folks, again, that was Dr. Richard Proctor. Thank you so very much, my friend. You take care of yourself until next week. God bless.
Take care. You bet.
Folks, that'll do it for me. Hagman Report. Stay safe. God bless. Hit your knees tonight and repent. Pray. Good night.